turn to Matthew chapter 6. There are some things that, some topics we rarely talk about, but the scriptural basis needs to be taught for some of the things that that we talk about routinely. Just a note before we get into it, when you're reading scripture, always identify who the pronouns are. Don't let it slip by and just, you know, give us this day our daily bread. You know, well, the Lord needs to give us our daily bread. No, he's the us is not you. Let's get into that. Look at verse 9 in Matthew 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Well, who are the ye? Who is Christ talking to in that? Is he saying you in America? Are you sitting on Pal Talk there? After this manner, pray you, pray me, us? Are we supposed to do that? He's talking in that context there, in that passage, he's talking to his 12 apostles, Israel's 12 apostles. Our Father, which art in heaven, that would be Israel's Father in heaven. So the our in our Father in heaven, Israel's Father, well, how do we know that? We don't want to just babble things and say that's scripture. Look at Exodus 4:22. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. So Israel was God's son. God was Israel's father. The father, let's go on. Our Father which art in heaven. So that's the our, it's Israel. Our Father, they can call God Father. Not because he's, they're not calling him our Creator, which art in heaven. They're saying our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, God's name. Verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, as it is in heaven. Excuse me, I've got that cough again, and I did take cough syrup, but hold on a second, please. So in the next three verses, Christ uses, I counted eight pronouns, all of which refer to Israel, not to us here today. So, you know, in repetitiously repeating the Lord's Prayer, people are maybe unconsciously and maybe accidentally getting the wrong idea. They're getting the idea that God is, you know, give us here in America, in wherever you're sitting, standing, working, whatever. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, God didn't promise us daily bread. God speaks to us through Paul, and Paul says, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. We're not supposed to wait for him to give it to us. Let's go on to verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's Israel talking. You might be catching what's going on here. Jesus Christ is giving them the prayer for the time period they were entering into the 70th week of Daniel. They had ticked off 69 weeks, and they were entering the 70th week. The only thing to keep them from going into there would be if Israel rejected their Messiah and blasphemed the Holy Ghost. That would stop it. Well, that's what happened. But it's yet coming. So this prayer is for those that will be in the tribulation. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation. What would be the temptation for those in the tribulation? You remember what they were supposed to avoid at all cost in the tribulation? Anybody? Okay, maybe all are away from the computer at the moment. God gave the Israelites manna miraculously from heaven, but it still did not keep them from murmuring and complaining, nor did it somehow keep them faithful to God's laws. You know, The sign, that was a sign too, wasn't it? It was to help them to believe, and yet, even with all those helps, those signs and wonders, they didn't believe. Lead us not into temptation to take the mark of the beast is the primary temptation at that point. To take the mark of the beast so you can buy food, so you can get a job, so you can provide for your family, so your babies don't have to die of starvation. But deliver us from evil. That evil would be ever present there in that time. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The kingship of God. Acknowledging it rather than rejecting it as they did before. Verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. In earth. So God's kingdom has been in heaven, and it was to come to earth. That was what was prophesied. It would come to earth in a future kingdom to rule as God ruled in heaven. It was, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it was is in heaven. Israel was promised heaven's kingdom of God. And it's coming. It's still coming to Israel. God will send an outpost from heaven to earth to rule the world from the land. That's what the land is all about. That's God's headquarters on earth. And Israel will be the people he rules through. That was what God promised. Look at Deuteronomy 11. Chapter 11, verse 21 in Deuteronomy. That your days may be multiplied. And again, who is the your days? That's, you know, that would be Israel. That's Moses, Christ, God in heaven told Moses to address Israel this way and to say that your days may be multiplied, that your, and your children, and the days of your children. Now, that's not yours and my children. Don't get mixed up. Your children will be the children of Israel, that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, not my father, Israel's fathers, to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. So that's where they get that, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, the days of heaven upon earth. Well, here's the question then. With that in mind, why is Israel told to lay up treasure in heaven? Matthew 6, 19 and 20, just a few verses later. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Lay not up treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. How many of you were taught this when you were younger? That, you know, we're supposed to value spiritual things and lay up our treasures and earn our rewards in heaven. You know, these things. That was spoken to Israel. That wasn't spoken to us. We are a heavenly people, and our rewards are in heaven. But Israel, that's the contrast. Look at what Paul says to us, not to Israel in particular, in Colossians 1, verses 5 and 6. He says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. That's talking to us. That's to those after Paul was sent to all men, including us. And he says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before, in the word of the truth of the gospel. Well, that's a reference to the word of truth that Paul discusses in Ephesians 1:13. But going on, Colossians 1:6, which is come unto you, in other words, the word of the truth of the gospel is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it does also in you, since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. So the word of truth, the word of the truth of the gospel that it's speaking about, is the grace of God in truth. But it says that our hope is in heaven. That's what we're looking at. Our destiny, our conversation, and our future is in heaven. And that's confirmed in Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is about us, the Gentiles that believe Paul's gospel, being saved into the body of Christ during the dispensation of the grace of God. Our future and our domain is in heaven. Israel's future domain is in the earth. There's a difference there. So, and there are those that would say that, well, you know, if we're going to forever be with the Lord and he comes back to earth, we'll be back to earth with him. Well, it says we'll be in heaven, eternal in the heavens. If he comes back, I just don't, you know, he's God. I don't see any problem how, you know, for him to be there with us and also coming back to earth to rule on earth. I don't see any problem with that. I just attribute to him the power to do that, rather than to say I don't believe the Bible. Okay. So, why do we say that Israel inherits the earth when Scripture tells us that Israel is to lay up treasures in heaven? Well, there's a clue in the Bible, and it's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. 1 Peter 1, 4 and 5. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved for you, reserved in heaven for you. And that's Peter talking. Who's he address? He addresses the circumcision. And he left the uncircumcision, the heathen, to Paul to address. So when Peter's writing, he's writing to Israel, not to us. And he says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. The you is Israel that Peter addresses three verses earlier in the first verse. You is not you Gentile listeners centuries later. It's them, not us. But let's go on to verse 5. Reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith. They have to keep their faith to be kept. Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In the last time for Israel. The last time for Israel is different than the last time for us, as many things for Israel are different than for us. Our last time is just before the catching up of the body of Christ. Israel's last time comes after that, about 7 years afterwards, or that during that period. But this is a contradiction. If Israel's treasures are reserved in heaven for those, for them who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Do you see it could be a contradiction, a possible conflict that confuses some people there? It's not necessarily, I said it is a contradiction to provoke your thought, but is it really a contradiction? If Israel is told to lay up treasures in heaven and their inheritance is reserved for them in heaven, how does it fit that they have a future on earth in the land? And why is Israel told to wait for heaven's kingdom to come to earth? Well, I'm satisfied with the answer that I find in Luke 19. Let's look there in Luke 19. Actually, from verse 1 through 27 covers the subject, but especially verses 10 to 15. And let's look at, we'll start in 10 and go through 12 for now. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And now it's, well, all right, we'll just go on past that. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear, you know, there on earth where they were. The kingdom of God is not here yet. The kingdom of God is glorious. It's, you know, magnificent. The law will be written in Israel's hearts when the kingdom of God comes from heaven to earth. That'll be part of that new covenant that takes place. But let's go on in the passage, verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Well, to me, this parable answers the question of why is Israel to lay up treasures in heaven, and why does the scripture say that the inheritance was reserved for them in heaven, if they're going to be ruling on earth, and if their future, their inheritance, and their destination is all on earth. Well, it says a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So the Lord Jesus Christ has gone back to heaven, a far country, and the kingdom, we know that it has to do with Israel because Exodus tells us that that's who it was promised to. But Israel right now is Lo Ammi. They're not God's people. And God is not their God. Israel is blinded, and they're cast away right now. And he called, this is verse 13, 14, and 15, he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy until I come. And his citizens, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Verse 15, and it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom. And let's look at that phrase there. That's the other end of Christ's physical absence on earth. He was on earth. He ascended back to heaven. Excuse me just a minute, please. Jesus Christ had an earthly ministry. He died for our sins, was resurrected, and went back to heaven, ascended to heaven. And from heaven, he worked for a year there, confirming the apostles, Israel's apostles, with signs and wonders. Mark 16:20 tells us that. That was that additional time, that part of his earthly ministry, but he was in heaven pouring out, I think is the term, or shedding the Holy Ghost on those believers, on the apostles first and then the believers, having received the kingdom, comes after that. He was on earth, he went to heaven, and when he comes back, he'll come back with the kingdom. That's the second coming of Christ to earth. His absence began with the end of Mark 16, verse 20. Look at Mark 16, verse 20. And the confirming signs that it talks about. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs. Now this is Mark 16. This is after his resurrection. After he'd gone back to heaven, it says he confirms, well, you can see the signs, you know, the speaking in tongues that came down, all the people that were healed. Peter healed a dead man, brought him back to life. The Lord was working with them from heaven during that acceptable year of the Lord. Scripture indicates that those Mark 16:20 confirming signs ended at the time of the revelation of the mystery of Christ to Saul of Tarsus. Or soon after, you know, right in that area, that time period. I think it was right at the, you know, that ended it. Setting Christ's pattern, to, you know, when Saul was saved, that was a new pattern. It was a new way to be saved. It wasn't by believing that there's a kingdom coming, repent of having rejected your Messiah, be baptized as a washing to become a priest, a kingdom of priests that the Messiah was bringing in. That was their promise. They would be a kingdom of priests. But Paul's new pattern, Christ's new pattern that he started with Paul, was to save sinners that believe Paul's gospel of salvation, the gospel of Christ crucified for our sins. And the point is this. In Luke 19, the parable, and how that... Let me start over. It should heal the misunderstandings. Why does Israel have to lay up treasure in heaven? And why does Israel's inheritance, why is it reserved in heaven? It's because their king went to heaven to obtain a kingdom, and he will return, having received the kingdom, he will return with their inheritance, with their treasures. Remember that the kingdom is of heaven, and you know it's called the kingdom of heaven. It's heaven. The kingdom of heaven is God's rulership, and he's in heaven now. He's still God, but he sends his kingdom to earth at a time when he chooses. Christ will return, set up the kingdom in the land, that huge area there, going all the way east to the Euphrates River and up into Turkey, down into Egypt. So when Christ came to earth the first time, it was without observation. Remember, it says they were looking for a sign, and Christ said, the kingdom of God comes without observation. Well, at that time it did. He was telling the truth, obviously. When Jesus Christ comes back to earth the second time, he splits the Mount of Olives, and he takes over the world. There's no question about it. That will be undeniably observable. The kingdom of God will come with observation at that time. Zechariah 12:10 says, they shall look upon me, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Remember the firstborn. Jesus Christ was the firstborn from the dead, first one resurrected with that new resurrection body. Observable? Look at Matthew 24:30. They shall, this is Matthew 24:30, they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and with great glory. They're going to see it. They'll observe it. That definite scripture does not sound gradual to me. When Jesus Christ comes to earth the second time, it will be quite observable. So when people turn to you and say that the kingdom of God is here now, it doesn't come with observation, it comes within our heart. That's not what it's talking about not being observable. It meant that it was not the time for it yet. Israel had to receive or reject their Messiah. Jesus Christ had to pay for the sins of the world. Christ's Luke 19 parable describes for his disciples there at that time the prophetic long-term plan that God will fulfill. Christ is going to go, he will go, well, at the time, he would go away, and, well, in other words, he'd be rejected. He would go into the far country, and that would be heaven, to receive a kingdom, which is the disciples' laid up treasure. Then, having received the kingdom, Christ will return to earth to reign on earth and to judge those left-hand goat nations that ganged up on Israel. It all fits. It's all right in order. We see that Christ's going away and his return fits exactly into what Christ had prophesied earlier about the acceptable year of the Lord. And if you think about it, Israel was expecting the Messiah would be accepted, and so he would stay and reign as their king. You know, that was their thinking before Christ showed up on the scene, you know, that Christ would come, be accepted, and set up his kingdom, and they'd be rulers of the world. In that case, there would not be any opportunity for an acceptable year of the Lord. They would have already accepted it. But in Luke 4, Jesus Christ did prophesy that he would be preaching the acceptable year of the Lord. So anyway, the treasures laid up in heaven are there for safekeeping. What did it say? Where moth and rust do not corrupt, thieves do not break in and steal. And Peter had some words for that too in Peter, 1 Peter 1, 4, wasn't it? Let me get back there and see. Hold on. 1 Peter 1, 4. To an inheritance incorruptible. It can't be messed up when they lay up their treasures in heaven. And undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, you Israelites. That's why they're to lay up treasure in heaven, because, you know, in my Father's house, John 2:16 defines Christ's Father's house as being the temple, earthly temple there in Jerusalem. In my Father's house are many mansions or dwelling places, a lot of rooms there in it. I go, how does that go? Let me get it. John 14. I go to prepare a place. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to where? Go to his Father's house, to the temple, to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Well, he will be the temple. And there will be many dwelling places. They will be in Christ. When he went back to heaven, the light left the temple. I mean, they were not God's people anymore. And Jesus Christ was the temple in heaven. And so when he returns, he will be the temple, and there will be, you know, they will have their places with him, and they will abide in him. You can read about abiding in the vine. That's different than abiding, us being in the body. Christ is the head to us. He's the vine to the branches. So there is a difference. All the way through, there's differences. There's a couple terms. I think the family of God, the household of God, that combine both, not combine, but talk about both Israel and the body of Christ together in one overall, like in a huge, did you ever go one of these, like an enclosed stadium with a roof on it? You know, first base is in that stadium, third base is in the stadium, but they're not the same thing. You can't claim that, you know, if Israel is first base and the body of Christ is third base, you can't claim that they're the same base just because they're in the same stadium. You know, you've got to believe the words on the page. If you know, when you run into trouble, it's when you're not understanding what's actually being said, or you don't want to understand it, so you make up something and find verses that fit what your speculation is. So, I hope that helps to understand some about laying up treasure and who that applies to, and what it is, why it's in heaven, and when it comes back as their inheritance. Okay, time for questions, comments.